A prophet without honor, you may be seated. That's what Jesus said, a prophet without honor. He goes to his hometown and he proclaims the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of the kingdom of God, and the people do not believe him. It's the same way in our world today. There's not any way that we're going to be able to escape it. There are people who come and bring God's word to us in order that we have the power of knowledge of who Jesus is, the Son of God, but yet we are prophets without honor. The church brings us the word of God, and so it behooves us to listen, consider the trials and temptations of our daily life, and we understand that God sends us to be prophets to a world that does not like to hear it. Well, consider year 600 before Christ, 600 BC. God speaks to the prophet Ezekiel. What an interesting book. By the way, if you want to know more about Revelation, read Ezekiel. You'll find all the images right there. Ezekiel, God tells Ezekiel, this is what you're going to do. He said, Son of man, I send you to tell the people of Israel, to the nations who rebels, who have rebelled against me, God says. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants who also are impudent and stubborn, I send you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. And whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. Ezekiel does exactly what he says. The Lord tells him to do it, and he does it. He goes to this rebellious people, and he calls them to repentance. But they would not listen to him. He called passionately, spoke to them the word of God in love, and also in law and gospel. But you see, Ezekiel was a prophet without honor among his own people. Ezekiel was called to be faithful. He speaks the message that the Lord gives. He doesn't create one. And because that's what a true prophet does. When you hear the word prophet, normally you think about somebody who foretells the future. That's not really what a prophet is. A prophet really is one who proclaims, who speaks forth the word of God. So the prophetic office here at the congregation will be the pastor of the church. He will be your prophet. He will be the one who proclaims the message of God. Now, sometimes they would have items that would come to pass, and people will realize, well, wait a minute, he foretold the future. Well, he preached God's word, and God did exactly what he said he was going to do. So the preaching office, the foretelling, the prophets were to speak exactly what God... They couldn't create new words. They had to speak what God had given them to speak and nothing else. And the word was a message. It was a word of hope. It was a word of law. You need this, you need that, as the Ten Commandments. Then you also need to know that our Lord God himself does not want to bring calamity to you, but he wants to graciously call you to repentance. And so the prophet foretells by speaking the truth. Now there's another scene that takes place, and that takes place when our Lord Jesus, in about the year 30, takes his ministry, and he goes to the world, and he also proclaims. He goes to the hometown, Nazareth. Oh, boy, you would think the hometown would bring out the fireworks. They would really celebrate. Here he comes, a prophet back home. But they didn't. Even though Jesus came with great wisdom and a proper understanding of what God does and what will do, the people hated him. Imagine that. The people hated Jesus, and they did. After all, he's a prophet. I mean, we know his parents. We know his mom and dad, who they were. You know, they were carpenter people. They were just average Joes. And yet we also know the brothers are all here. They're all named. And the sisters are here. We know the family. And Jesus says, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, among his relatives and among his own household. When I was first through the seminary, I remember a congregation in near Knoxville, Tennessee. was in my home congregation before I went to the SIM. And there the congregation said, well, Pastor Ledbetter, when you finish your education at the seminary, will you come and be our pastor? I'm very reluctant, and I said to them, do you not know that a prophet is not welcome in his own town? He's not. He can't. By the way, it says in the text, Jesus, I could do a few miracles. I could heal a few sick, lay hands on them, heal them. But a prophet, and even the prophet, is without honor in his own hometown. But he sends people himself. So, scene three, Jesus sends out his disciples. He said, I want you to go, and you're going to go to places, and you're going to go two by two. You're not going to take any extra gear with you, no tents, no camp gear, none of that stuff, no burners, no stoves. You're going to eat what people give you to eat. You're going to drink what they give you to drink. You're going to go to their house. You're going to stay in their home. And if the home receives the message altogether, it says, if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they went. They did exactly what Jesus had told them to do. And he gave them a commission not only to go, but he also gave them power to speak forgiveness of sins, turn people to repentance, turn them around. They're going in this direction. And the Holy Spirit turns them around so that they see things totally different. That's what repentance is. Seeing things through the eyes of God. And they go, and they had the courage to do it. And they proclaimed. And the Holy Spirit then caused repentance in the hearts of many people. That's what repentance is. It's the Holy Spirit working in our heart that causes us to see things a whole different way. We never saw them from God's perspective, and he turns us around. To repent means to change a way of thinking, your whole mindset. And the Holy Spirit does that. Oh, we don't have the power to do that on our own. The Holy Spirit gives us that, and he tells us to give up on yourself and your reliance on your own self. Depend on our Lord, and he will provide you with everything you need. We never heard of any of those apostles starving or getting hungry. No, because he saw to it that they were fed and cared for, just as he did the other prophets. Jeremiah, for example, went to sleep, and yet God brought the raven to him in order that he might eat. Stand up, get up. I'm going to send you to people. And Jeremiah was also sent to the people. He didn't want to go, but God told him that was your message, and that's where you're doing. So now about 30 years later, after Jesus had died, then there came the prophet who was St. Paul. Now, St. Paul was not among the original disciples, but nevertheless, he traveled because God had given him the instructions, had traveled far and wide, long places, wonderful places that I got to see some of them, wonderful. And he was to, even though he respected it, he explained his position that he was in trouble. A lot of times he was punished and treated badly, thrown into prison. I don't remember how many times. But Paul used that opportunity because he is a prophet among the people. And guess what? Jailers became saved because they heard the gospel and they believed it. And tells us, too, that Paul went and baptized them, a great many of them, because they had come to faith. But the weaknesses of Paul, talks about, for the sake of Christ, I'm content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, calamities. My goodness, how many times was he shipwrecked? I've lost track. How is this way God's prophets are to be treated? No, it is not the way they're to be treated. The message that the prophet brings is a message of hope, it's a love and forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Sometimes it's a message that the people do not want to hear. And they will hate you for it. You'll want to speak the truth, but they will hate you because you did. They'll mistreat you, they'll ridicule you, make fun of you, beat you up, persecute you. That's what happened to Paul. Why wouldn't it happen to us too as well? Paul had a Savior, though, that was stronger than himself and stronger than the suffering. He had the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus took the big suffering upon us, as I mentioned to the youngsters a moment ago. He goes to the cross of Calvary and dies for the sins of the whole world, all of the world, all of your sins, not just a few of them, all of them. And I tell you, I thank God that he died for my sins too. And there, the blood covers my iniquity. And then he's been placed into a tomb, dead, cold. And yet, the Lord Jesus is raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And he changes everything, does he not? He goes to people that did not believe in him. Do you know that the family of Jesus did not really believe he was the Messiah? Hard to believe, right? But see, think of it this way. You grow up in a family that's a normal family, and Jesus was normal in every way. He was normal, except he was God also. But he was truly human in every way, so the people in this family would just say, he's one of us. There's nothing special. He's just one of us. Until after the resurrection. And when the resurrection occurred, then they realized Jesus is the Son of God. He really is my brother, and yet he is the Son of God. And James becomes one of the strongest apostles who had denied Jesus was really God's son. He was his brother. And yet James became one of the strongest apostles of our Lord. He became the bishop of the Jerusalem church when all the other apostles left. Scene 4. We live in the United States of America. It's a wonderful country. I'm so thankful that I lived here. And that my father served in the service, and maybe many of you did and know of people that did serve in the service, in order to what? Keep us free. And I love my freedom. But even here in the United States, a prophet is without honor. You come to your country, and the country has gone crazy. Is there anything logic that goes on in our world today? It's nuts. Nuts. Television. Movies, celebrities. Somehow we think that because somebody's a celebrity, whew, they got this great knowledge. No, they don't. They're stupid. They don't have any great knowledge. They're stupid, and they don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if they don't know the gospel, they don't know anything. So they've got the celebrities, and they think they know all the stuff, and they got the microphone, and they got the camera. Officials in our government think that they got everything under their control, corporations, public education. And all of these things are railing against God's word. They don't want it. They despise God's word. They reject God's word and reject the messenger as well. I'll give you some examples I thought about. One of them irritates me the most, I think, is Rachel Levine. She used to be a he. In 2011, decided that she was not a he, but she was a she. And she was a psychiatrist. Goodness gracious, psychiatrist. The gal's crazy. The woman is, that man is crazy. And she's a psychiatrist. And she also deals with children. And yet, she's appointed openly gay cabinet member of the United States government. She's two children, by the way. Did you know that? Rachel has two children. She transitioned in 2011. Now, there was another thing that came up this week, and probably you know about it too, and a man named Ryan Walters had a wonderful idea. He thinks this, what we need to do, he was superintendent of the Oklahoma school, so what he said was, what we're going to do is we're going to teach the Bible and the Ten Commandments in all of our classrooms. That's a terrible idea. Why is it a terrible idea? It's because who will be teaching our people from what they do not know? What happens if the Muslim decides he wants to teach the Quran? What if the Hindu teacher wants to teach from the Bhagavad Gita? Or what if the Jehovah's Witness teacher wants to teach from the New Jerusalem Bible or New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures, which is abomination? So Louisiana law now has mandated that the Ten Commandments go in the classrooms. What are the Ten Commandments? Well, God tells you this, but it does not give you the gospel. So here we got all those Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. Well, all those make sense. We just know that from, right? We've known that all our lives. We don't kill anybody. And we don't take their wives. We don't take their stuff that belongs to them. We don't steal from them. Because that's the normal first use of the law. It curbs unrighteousness, and they know better. But no, unfortunately, the Louisiana law says that we're going to mandate the display of the Holy Commandments, Ten Commandments, and we're going to give them also the Bibles in their classrooms. And the doctrine will be taught according to whoever the teacher is. Many times it will not be good. And then you got another, I thought of another one, number four. Biological males competing with women in sports. Oh, is that's crazy. Why is our society so messed up? And these men who play like they're women, and they're in the women's dorm and also in a women's gym, and they're changing their clothes and around all the females. Folks, that doesn't make any sense at all. And yet, that's the world we're in. LGBTQ, I've forgotten all the letters. There they are. Gay parades all over. What do they do? Flaunting the evil into our faces. And then the free speech on campus, that's not allowed anymore. You don't want anybody to teach things that might be contrary to their mental thinking. But even at seminary in Fort Wayne, I remember we invited professors from other seminaries who were not like us to bring what they had and where their papers and their studies so that we can understand what they were teaching so that we would be able to combat it in our regular work. So Supreme Court now is legalizing all those kinds of things. Homosexual is called marriage in all 50 states. Four women in Supreme Court, two are homosexual. Abomination before God. They will not like it if we bring it. People who are bakers, people who are florists, would not want to do the wedding rehearsals and wedding receptions for people who did not believe in Christ. And they were openly homosexual, requiring them to do the bake the cakes and stuff. They didn't want to do it. Fortunately, they didn't end up having to do it. Christian consciences. That's what we have. God gives us a conscience to know what's right and wrong. But he gives us our conscience, but he guides it by his Holy Scripture so we know what it is and what it isn't. 2015, I was a pastor at Mount Olive Lutheran Church. Anise Parker, who was the mayor of the town, homosexual, first mayor, homosexual in town. She wanted to have a copy of all of our sermons so she could read them before we preached them. I said, Anise can get off her buff and come down to the church. I'll preach it to her. I'll let her have it. She can read it from, I'll give her a copy of the manuscript as I'm preaching it. Crazy, isn't it? I wished she'd asked for my copy. I'd given it to her, but she didn't ask for it. God haters are all around us. People like you and me who want to stand up for what is right and the values that our Lord Jesus Christ has given to us. He sends us out, and yet we too are prophets without honor. Our people around us don't really want to hear what we've got to say. And yet what we do bring will change lives. When we as Christians bring the Scripture to bear into our world in which we live and people hear it and believe it, they have something magnificent takes place in their lives. They're going this way and the Holy Spirit turns them totally around and they see it from a different perspective. Repentance is the work of the Holy Spirit. Well, in the final things, let me just say this. Jesus says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And blessed are you when people speak evil of you for my sake. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. In the world, Jesus said, you will have tribulation. It will not be easy. Take heart. I have overcome the world. And finally, in our nation, you and me, we become prophets where we live, in our neighborhood, with our next door neighbor, loving and caring for them in the times that they need, and also taking care of our civic responsibilities, going and voting. We're doing the things that's good for our community, because even though we are a prophet without honor, we are nonetheless prophets of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must speak the truth with peace, grace, and his mercy. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, may keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.